Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Soci.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soci.
You know there's a flip side to the coin. I might have to take it down. I won't like it without doing it.
Lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. We have a blog on our new website, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. The voice you just heard, the winner of Silver Stakes
4
IV,
yep,
Kobe Slagle.
Hello.
We'll get to the award ceremony in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, as we say in an old intro, we have guests. So
guests.
People. We have guests coming over now. I'm so not Elizabeth Taylor. Although apparently...
You're not?
No.
Statement of the day right there.
But apparently Helena Bonham Carter is, which is, it's in my DVR, I just not haven't watched it yet, so... But we do have, do we have the intro ready?
It's called Inception.
Minor.
Yes, of course. Brian and Monica Hartz are in studio.
Hello.
Hi, gang. So we're also in pledge drive mode.
Mm-hmm.
So if you love Film Sociology or you pity it, 1-800-233-0020. You can go to WFYI.org to show your support of all the shows on WFYI HD1 and HD2,
mm-hmm,
like Film Sociology and The Cool Down.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with Los Cool Down tomorrow night?
Well, The Cool Down is in archives right now, but next week,
uh-oh,
The Cool Down will broaden its horizons.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Tune in to find out more next Saturday at 7 on WFYI HD to the Point.
Very good. So yes, 1-800-233-0020 or go to WFYI.org to support WFYI, and we thank you.
If you put something in the comments about how you like Film Sociology, no, it's not going to be what you think.
Okay.
No.
Sorry,
we're
going
to put that to rest because we've not had any takers on it.
Because it's not true.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely true, but we've not had any takers on it just because nobody knows about it. But anyway. If you put something in the comments, something along the lines of, we love Film Sociology, we listen every week, something about Film Sociology,
we'll read it.
We'll read it, yes, obviously, next week on the show. But in addition to, I think we should take the first one of these people to Yats.
Oh, definitely. We should go to the new Yats on Mass Ave.
I was there today.
Is it nice?
How is it?
It's very nice.
Good, we're in the food portion of film sociology as scheduled.
See, a seamless transition there.
Absolutely.
See, we're getting better at this.
I know. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. Yeah, the first person who pledges and puts film sociology in the reason box and not named Hearts or from Fort Myers. And
fair enough.
Unless they want to come up. Well, you know, you already
you guys can come with us.
You've already become a sustaining member.
Yeah, we've already contributed.
You know, one of these times, we have done this once before where we had the film sociology crew, where we had, because Fair Sweet Bianca was there, Emma, Melissa, you know, so we had the alumni emeritus. If we start to make it the Algonquin table or the vicious circle, we could bring in some of the regular guests. So we'll bring in you and Sammy Terry. And
oh man, how cool would it be to have dinner with Sammy Terry?
Robert Irvine on Skype.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. So we'll work on that. But yes, that is
have dinner over Skype.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Kind of is. Although there was an episode of South Park that one of the kids went trick or treating via Skype.
Nice.
Also made fun of The Shining. So we'll get to that. All right, it's now that we're done with the food portion of film sociology, we'll now get to the fantasy football portion of film sociology. See, for those who don't know, like, what the hell's wrong with the show already? Every year when we do fantasy football on the fantasy football field, Kobe's fantasy team and my fantasy team, we play against each other, and it's the silver stakes game, the oaken bucket of our fantasy league. Mm-hmm. And if Kobe's team loses, he has to watch a film of my choosing.
Usually freaky.
It's not always freaky. I just threaten for it to be freaky or bad or both. But I was going to stick with Hitchcock.
Freaky bad.
Yes. But his team won. So he
for the second year in a row.
Thank you.
So now the silver stakes history is Tommy Wiseau All-Stars 2, Zazu 2.
Terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Your team's name is Zazu.
That's right.
Yeah. So when Kobe's team wins, like this year.
And last year. We've got momentum.
Yeah.
We have momentum.
You also have the fire and the passion. He has to watch a Pam Grier film that he has not seen before.
Mm-hmm. I think last year it was Big Dollhouse.
Yes, it was Big Dollhouse. As we learned, I know Fair Sweet Bianca, and it's not your first choice, I understand, the Filipino women in prison movies.
Oh, yes.
Notice no pause from Brian. Thank you. You can also see the documentary Machete Maidens that talks about Filipino exploitation films, which actually that's the second week in a row we've talked about that documentary. Hi, Tim Irwin. So anyway, because of that, you, friend, get to watch the Pam Grier epic Friday Foster.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yaphet Kotto, Carl Weathers, Godfrey Cambridge, Ted Lang, Eartha Kitt. Yeah.
You had me at Yaphet Kotto.
And yeah. So there's Jim Backus. Jim Backus is in this.
The LA Times had this to say of it. Pam Grier in one of her most winning performances.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's what this show is about.
An hour and 29 minutes from 1975. Friday Foster.
I do love that even if he wins, you still tell him what to watch.
Oh, yes.
It's just a different thing. It's just
a different thing.
It's a more agreeable thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, like Jerry.
Yes.
So, yeah, because we've had a few people, like his wife and Jeanette Lee, that tried to intervene on the procedure, and we will have none of that.
That's right. So. Look out, though, Kobe. If you lose next year, it's Il Topo.
No, because I was informed. I made him watch Blue Velvet. Was that the first one?
Was
that a victory? Because I made you watch Psycho the second time. But I was informed, just because you're making me watch this, it does not mean you get to open... It does not open the floodgates of all the freaky
me
stuff.
Me watching Blue Velvet does not equal a gateway for you to give me more freaky stuff.
See what I got to work with? So I'll be nice. So the next year, Psycho. And you liked it.
That was all right.
All right. See? So
it was all right?
It was a good movie. It was all right in the sense that it wasn't too scary.
Oh, do you not like scary stuff?
No.
Okay.
That's why we're here.
Okay.
That's right. This is film therapy with Dr. Soci. Dr. Soci, film therapist.
In session?
That's right. Only on Bravo.
hey, we could pitch that.
Oh, I know. Only if Padma's my first patient. Anyway, crossover. So let's talk about what is new in theaters this week.
What is new this week?
We have The Fifth Estate,
with one of our favorite East-West football players, Benedict Cumberbatch. you introduced me, and of course I'm not hip, therefore I'm the last person in the world to discover this. You showed me a YouTube clip from who? It's a
Key and Peele from Comedy Central.
I want to word this properly so we don't get in trouble. But there's two skits that they do where it's a parody of the college all-star team.
Yes.
East versus West. Well. And how should I put this, since we're in a studio of white folks? The names of some of the football players, as the introductions go on, get sillier and sillier. We will leave it at that because Abdul is not here to agree. But one of the names, of course, is Benedict Cumberbatch. So that's of course, the WikiLeaks film, because now you do not have to wait for a news item to be cold before you make it into a film, like Captain Phillips from last week. And now we have this. Also opening in theaters, I'm in Love with a Church Girl, starring Adrian Ballion and Ja Rule.
What?
Ooh,
so Tyler Perry.
I don't believe it is a Tyler Perry film, but yes, by the way, anybody know?
Ja Rule was so good in Fast and the Furious.
Anybody know Ja Rule's real name? Because he's trying to make that crossover.
Oh, nuh-uh.
Ja Rule Atkins.
Atkins.
And Michael Madsen's in it.
Which Fast was Ja Rule in?
The first one.
Ja Rule was in the first
one?
You know that very quickly, Monica.
Because it's the only one I've seen.
You live your life a quarter mile at a time.
I do.
Okay. No, you don't.
No, but he has just a very small role, and I think he's just kind of the short girl's man candy.
That's how he's listed
what?
In the film.
Well, he's so short, you know? He's a
short girl's man candy.
Short girl's man candy.
On an unrelated note, Brian, you said, is that a Tyler Perry joint? Is Tyler Perry calling his stuff joints now?
No.
He's parodying a
Spike Lee joint. Okay.
Filmmaker.
I didn't.
Well, a filmmaker who's capable.
Tell us how you really feel.
Is Tyler Perry gone on Kickstart yet? No, he doesn't have to.
He doesn't need to.
I know. Okay, the other film of, and we'll get, I love, because I talk about the films I haven't seen before I get to the one I actually did. Also opening in theaters is a film that I'm actually intrigued by. Brian and I have talked about this. It's a remake, and I'm generally not a fan of remakes, as I sit on the front stoop and tell the damn kids to get off my lawn. But this one had me intrigued, and it's a remake of Carrie. So we're going to do the timeline. First, it was Stephen King's first novel,
major work. I mean, it was his first novel. He'd published several short stories before that.
Thank you. If this were book sociology, it'd be great. But first, it was made into a film in 1976, directed by Brian De Palma, Academy Award nominations for Piper Laurie and Sissy Spacek. And, of course, that opened the floodgates of everything ever scribbled by Stephen King made into a film.
Sadly.
The Mangler.
That was a really scary short story.
It's too bad it's not a short film.
I know.
So then they made a movie called The Rage, Carrie 2, which was another girl, not named Carrie, who had telekinesis, but they brought in Amy Irving, her character from the first film. By the way, final scene in Carrie, one of the bigger jumpy moments. I don't know, spoiler alert, a 35-year-old film, but 40-year-old film, but that was a jumper in my younger days, seeing that on cable.
Oh, yeah.
Then there was one remade for, there was a version of it made for television.
Yeah.
That I remember Patricia Clarkson plays the mother. And now we come to this one. So, again, not really needing another one. You ask why. There's three reasons that intrigue me. And that's Chloe Grace Martz, Julianne Moore, and the fact it's directed by Kimberly Pierce, who gave us Boys Don't Cry. So, now what I've read is that it is a shot-by-shot remake. I got a feeling the girls' locker room scene is going to be a lot shorter, or not nearly as fun compared to Brian De Palma, everyone's favorite feminist film director.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'll be really interested to see. I mean, because the Brian De Palma film doesn't really leave a lot to improve on, but Stephen King may disagree, because.
He always disagrees.
No, he thinks that Carrie is, he thought it was a good movie.
There's no room 237 in that one.
Yeah, no.
No.
So, but Carrie is a, I think, for almost a 40-year-old book and almost 40-year-old film, it's still creepy as bleep. I mean, it's mm-hmm. really, really hard at times. And that weird, of course, fine line between wanting to root for her and going, I think that's a bit much.
Just a bit much.
Yeah. So,
this version will not have the glorious Robert Plant-esque hair of William Catt.
No, afraid not. And Travolta was available. No, not really.
No, I don't know. I'm excited because what I've read about the movie is that they're trying to be more true to the book. And I'm like, well, the original Brian De Palma film was pretty spot on for the novel. So.
I think that's the thing that's supposed to be said, since Carrie was made for television and King did the screenplay for The Shining for TV, and so we'll see about that.
Wretched.
Yes, it was. And also the fact, and this is not a slight on, this is one of my favorite cinematic gene pools, the fact that Piper Laurie and Sissy Spacek in real life are about 9 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like the Thanksgiving with Lawrence Harvey and Angela Lansbury and Manchurian Candidate. And of course, it's fun because those two played sisters later in The Glass Harp, directed by Charles Matthau. So, but in this one, no. Julianne has a 5 in her age and Chloe Martz has a 1 in her age. So there is that. Anyway, that is out. Yes, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you don't get to see your first choice, and sometimes you don't get to see your second choice, and sometimes, and of course, I don't blame the pledge drive, because life has a way. You know what, Kobe? Life things get in the way sometimes.
That's right. Oh, yeah, completely.
Followed by plot things happening.
Mm-hmm.
No, Tuesday night, I saw Escape Plan. Cove, I believe you played the intro, but do we have a clip of the reunion of Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger? It's been only a year since The Expendables 2 and their appearance at Planet Hollywood. And because I think the last time they were in Indianapolis, or the only time they were in Indianapolis ever, was probably at that restaurant opening. Now do we have it?
I'm getting there. Hang on.
Oh, you don't have the audio clip separate, do you?
No.
Oh, you incorporated it in.
Yes.
Oh.
Stall.
Stall. So now that Schwarzenegger's out of office and he's got child payments to make, he's starting to appear in some more movies. And
and here's this.
Okay.
You know, there's a flip side to the coin. I might have to take it down. I won't like it, but I'll do it.
Thank you, Aries Spears. Appreciate that.
I'll trust that was very entertaining, as my headphones are currently not working.
Okay, well. Maka, you want to give him his headphones so he can hear it?
No, it's okay.
Wow, okay.
No, I do not want to give you my headphones.
I do not want to give you my headphones.
You're married. It's okay.
She's not very good at sharing. It's okay.
I'm really not.
Really? Hi, Maka. All right, so this one, and by the way, this was more entertaining than the trailer. You know, the trailer has this bad case of tell everything itis.
Yeah.
I like the trailer, but sometimes it gets to tell everything that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Stallone plays a. Now I want to know how many businesses and is he allowed to go to Chamber of Commerce meetings? He runs a prison inspection company, basically, where he breaks out of prison and then he tells the prison warden, who I bet is real happy to hear this, especially if he doesn't know ahead of time that this is happening.
It's like the secret shopper for the incarceration system.
Kind of, yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. So Sly and his Botox eyebrows break out of prison, and
the eyebrows came with him.
You know what? His eyebrows distracted the hell out of me when watching Rocky Balboa and Rambo, the last ones. I'm like, what are you doing in the middle of Thailand, and who does your work? this one, he's a business guy. So anyway, he breaks into prison. He breaks out of prison, shows him what's wrong, that sort of thing. His business partner is played by Vincent D'Onofrio. That's kind of a casting strike one right there, folks. It's like casting Liev Schreiber as your best friend. Not gonna turn out well.
Yeah, no, that's not really gonna work.
Yeah, not really gonna work well on that. So, and guess what? Sly winds up in a prison where he can't leave, and it's run by everyone's favorite Jesus actor, Jim Caviezel,
wow.
Back from the dead apparently. And by the way, this Caviezel's performance in this as the warden, sadistic warden, is an example of going over the top by underplaying. He's always fiddling with his jacket, always with his tie and his shirt.
Ah, the Steve McQueen special. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that. A little too flinchy. Anyway. And of course, while Stallone's stuck in the can, he comes across Arnold Schwarzenegger, because who wouldn't miss Schwarzenegger in a prison?
Yeah.
Big guy. And of course, they team up, even though they don't quite like or understand each other, because that's what you have to do in action films.
Oh, what do you mean you don't understand me?
No, not that understand. Not No, not that version. And of course, we get to the title of the play, the movie. Yeah, this, and I understand.
You get to the escape plan.
You do to get to the escape plan. Oh, also in this cast, talk about a random piece of casting for this. So you have Schwarzenegger and Sly. Yeah, I get it. They're going to be together. And Caviezel, sure, because he took a break from, what's the show on CBS?
Person of Interest?
Yes. He took a break from that, apparently. And then you have Amy Ryan, Academy Award nominee Amy Ryan from Gone Baby Gone. She plays basically the girl in the movie. She's kind of a business associate of Sly's, and there's really bad writing to indicate maybe they are or were a couple, but we don't know.
Ew. Nor,
I know that grossed you out. I'm sorry. you don't really care. We got that, right? Yeah. Here's what I think of that movie. Ew.
Ew.
Let's see. Vinnie Jones shows up. And of course, everybody's favorite computer hacker, 50 Cent.
Ha!
What?
Ha ha ha! No way.
Is he going by his real name?
Curtis
now,
Jackson.
Too?
I think it's Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Yes, he's
That's
in this.
Better than, what was it, Jeremy Atkins?
Jeremy Atkins. So, yeah, he's in this because I think he probably also worked at the same museum that had Tara Reid as a curator in Alone in the Dark. And the thing that Vinnie Jones is in is a sadistic guard, but the one person I didn't know was in this, and there was a big scoff on Critics Row when he came on, playing the prison doctor, Sam Neill.
Really?
Yes. Or as you called him, Brian, the guy who was almost Bond.
Yeah, one of the many, but yes.
He was part of the cattle call in the mid-80s, right?
Missed it by that much.
By that much. Thank you, 1986. So yeah, this is a film that has I should probably copyright the Grindhouse rule, is that this film really has no business being more than 70 minutes long. Problem is it's 1:50, and when we get to the title of the movie, the film gets real dumb real fast. For instance, ladies and gentlemen, imagine you're a prison warden, not necessarily Jim Caviezel. You could be Eddie Albert in The Longest Yard or that guy in Shawshank. Great, that guy.
That guy.
Oh, if you come up with the name, that'll be good. I'll keep going. So when you have two guys, especially when they look like Sly and Arnold, beating each other up in the cafeteria in a prison, don't you think your guards would be watching over them after they get out of solitary confinement so they don't keep hanging out together? Little things like
maybe.
That. Little
yeah,
things.
Maybe.
Little things like that. And this is coming from a crotchety old film critic who recommended Bullet to the Head, which, you know, if you the more drinks you have, the slightly better. It's cinema goggles.
The slightly better it gets.
Slightly better.
It's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, I know. It's also directed by Walter Hill. However, sadly, no music from Ry Cooter. That's a bad move. But with Escape Plan, there is a moment where we know it's trying to be a throwback to the old days, but when you really pander to it, there is a slow motion shot of Schwarzenegger turning around with this big grimace and grabbing a big gun, which of course had the meatballs in the audience cheering really loud on Tuesday night. Not anybody in Critics Row, of course, mm-hmm. but we know you're trying to be a throwback to, this would have been a big deal of a movie 10 years ago, even more so 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking 20, at least.
Fine, 20, yeah. Because at least in 10, they would, you know, they're still making movies in Europe. But it's I guess it's that fine line between stupid and clever, Kobe, when it comes to the the Schwarzenegger-Stallone reunion. So I didn't have as much fun with this. I would have had much more fun if it was 40 minutes shorter. So there you go. You got something there?
Oh, sorry. I was looking at...
Were you Googling old chicks?
No, I was actually checking out Coming Soon in Theaters.
Really?
Things.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The only thing that makes this one stand out at all is that it's the characters are a little more annoying than they usually are in these kind of movies.
Probably, yeah. That's pretty good.
I just imagine that both of their faces, Sly and Schwarzenegger's faces, just have a really hard time doing anything.
Botox. Well, in this one, at least Schwarzenegger grew some facial hair and he screams in German for a couple scenes. So
that sounds really difficult.
That's relevant.
As opposed to irrelevant.
That's not what I said.
Sounds like
erudite
and refined.
So you're saying Schwarzenegger sounds better in German?
No. That's not what I said.
That's right, Don Johnson, the voice of reason.
Oh, things are getting bad now.
I know. All right, so also, last night here in Indianapolis, the opening of the Heartland Film Festival.
Yes.
So if you go to heartlandfilmfest.org, you can get all the times. And, of course, if you get a chance, pick up the wonderful, huge, ginormous program that you can check out.
Man's picture's in it.
Yeah, my picture's in it because I'm a juror. Of course, they had Give Me Shelter last night. You can see an interview with Vanessa Hudgens in today's Non Nuvo. But, yeah, screening's been going on since 10 a.m. today, and they are running all the way through Saturday, October 26th. So going to be a lot of fun. Plenty of movies out there. So if you really don't want to see Escape Plan,
You don't have to.
You don't have to. We're not forcing you.
No one's going to make you see it.
No one's going to make you see that.
You can go to Heartland.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes. Stop it.
Yeah, oh yeah. So yeah, that's my juror photo. Isn't that great?
Which
is great for
radio.
Thank you. This is my Amish rabbi look.
I'm going to take a picture of that and put it on the blog because nobody listening right now can see that.
That's probably a good thing for radio, but yeah, you'll take care of that.
Maybe if you hold it really close to the microphone.
Listen, yeah, look, here it is. Oh, no, we do that with the mugs when we talk about this. Yeah, the NPR mug. Actually, that's my Haterade mug.
That is his Haterade mug.
Kobe Slagle, delivering cynical snarks since 1969.
Ding!
Ding! All right, Mr. Slagle.
Yes?
What is happening at your alma mater?
At my alma mater this
weekend. Indiana University.
We are showing tonight, Friday night, 7 o'clock, in the International Art House series, Harry Dean Stanton, partly fiction from 2013.
Documentary on the great Harry Dean Stanton.
Mm-hmm. Saturday, Ray Harryhausen's Fairy Tales, 3 o'clock.
Okay.
And then, again, repeat of Harry Dean Stanton at 7 p.m. And then Sunday, the 20th, 6:30 p.m., Macbeth from this
year.
That's
the Kenneth Branagh Macbeth.
That'll be cool.
It's one of those it's a stage performance that's been filmed.
Right.
Yes.
They sometimes pop up at Landmark.
Yes.
They do those. I believe they're doing. Actually, Kobe, could you double check Landmarks? And then I think they're showing Othello with Adrian Lester.
Oh.
I believe is happening at the end of the month, which is coming up very soon.
Oh, the end of the month is coming up very soon.
Thank you.
I know. It's crazy.
Right?
Tonight at Landmark, Keystone, Midnight Movies, tonight and tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday, Shaun of the Dead.
The only one of those that you would actually go to.
Yes.
So a very funny film and of course this came out how many years? It came a few years ago. So don't need to see any more zombie movies. And that's not really a slight on The Walking Dead, but between...
Zombieland was pretty good.
But I think this... Was that after Shaun? Yeah, it was after Shaun of the Dead. Yeah, I guess. Okay, but now I'm really done.
Yes.
Yeah, after Shaun of the Dead and Zombieland, you don't really have to.
I would say between that and then, of course, what the same guys did this year with This Is... with The World's End.
Yeah.
Piggybacked by This Is the End. No more End of the World movies.
No.
Mm-mm.
Also, Matt, to confirm you, Othello, Saturday and Sunday, October 26th and 27th, next weekend.
Are they showing Macbeth? We can say it in the studio. It's okay.
Not coming for Micah.
Really?
It's not a theater.
No, and actors are already an erotic lot to begin with. They don't need any more.
It's true.
No, I'm not saying anything.
Okay. And could you also, while I'm, I have a transition, so you can look while I ask.
Okay.
Let's double check the Riff Tracks. They're showing Night of the Living Dead. I also believe that's next weekend. But also happening this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night at the Artcraft Theater, which you've you folks visited in Franklin last weekend. Oh, yeah. Tonight at 7:30, the 1931 original Dracula, followed by at 10 o'clock, the 1941 original The Wolfman.
Oh, he's so excited about this whole series.
Stuff.
And then Saturday, October 19th, tomorrow, 3 o'clock, The Invisible Man, Claude Rains rules.
With his inimitable laugh.
That's right. At 5 o'clock, The Mummy. At 7:30, Frankenstein. And at 10 p.m., Creature from the Black Lagoon in vintage 3D.
Sounds awesome.
So go to 57 North Main Street in Franklin, Indiana, as it says in the ad, just 20 miles south of Indianapolis, !! Historic ArtCraftTheater.org.
So it's a really fun place to watch a movie.
The Universal Classic Monster Mania Film Festival going on this weekend. Also at, next week, part of the fall film series with the Indianapolis International Film Festival. Next week, they're showing Mistaken for Strangers, October 3rd, Muscle Shoals. That anybody who's a music fan's got to check that out. October 24th, History of Future Folk, and then November 7th, Our Vinyl Weighs a Ton. So go to indiefilmfest.org for more information on that. Do we have a verification on Riff Tracks?
Night of the Living Dead, Thursday, October 24th.
So I'm going to have to talk to the child. That's
check
her,
your local listing.
That's her fall break. So there is that. Now, Ryan and Monica, you were at the Art Craft last weekend, correct?
Right. Yes.
And I love this because neither one of you had seen Night of the Hunter.
No, we had not.
It was a curious lapse in my film.
Yeah,
it happens.
I had so not seen it that for some reason I thought it was a vampire movie.
Because it's
not only had I not seen it, I had so not seen it.
she had so not seen that movie.
We hate when we so not see anything.
Like you so did not see Carrie this week.
I so did not see Carrie this week.
I'm so mad at you guys.
Welcome
right.
to Zoe.
So mad at you guys.
Welcome
right
to
now.
Zoe Deschanel Radio.
None of yeah. us has appropriately cut bangs for that.
I could style
right.
Like that.
So, please, what did you folks share your experience of Night of the Hunter? Robert Mitchum, Shelley Winters, Lillian Gish, Peter yes. Graves, and directed by Charles Laughton.
And sad that that was the only film that Laughton ever directed because
yeah,
it was
it's really
received
unfortunate.
So poorly initially.
Yes.
But,
well, it's understandable that it was because it just, it's like I told you, it seemed like it was really ahead of its time.
Now, Mr. Slagle, mm-hmm. you, sir, might consider this film to be a little on the creepy side.
Okay.
It's a marvelous bit of Southern Gothic spookiness.
Does
so
that
it's
qualify?
Like, man, I'm trying to think of the one that Bianca made me watch. It's the one, the woman in Fool's Gold, Kate Hudson.
Oh, the Skeleton Key.
Yes.
She made you watch it. No, this is way better than that.
No, this isn't. I wouldn't even qualify this as scary. Just as it's very eerie. It's a very eerie movie.
A bit, you know, sort of surreal and magical and points and lyrical
and it's
sad.
It's kind of kind of a monster story from a kid's point of view.
Yeah,
that's imagine actually a really good way to put
really.
It.
Carson McCullers wrote horror novels.
This was the film I watched while handing out treats last year for Halloween.
Lovely.
So when the
children.
Door, yeah, so when the knock on the door, the doorbell rang, children, and Linda's course like, nobody gets that, Matt. I don't care. One person will, and it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
It's like my daughter's costume choices. So you have... oh, no, she went as Ringo Starr. She went as a girl from Gravity Falls last year. She wants to go as the drummer. She wants to go as Kim, the drummer from Sex Bomb in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Yes.
Wow.
My daughter wants to go as Allison Pill. That's my daughter.
Wow.
Anyway, Kobe, you have a brother and a sister mm-hmm. whose father is Peter Graves, and
for a
little bit, and he's in jail, and he breaks out, and there's fortunes to be found, and at the same time you have a murderous preacher played by Robert Mitchum, he's got love and hate scrawled on his hands,
and some serious issues with women.
Yeah.
Yes. And Shelley Winters happens to be the latest sacrificial lamb that gets in his path. And so there's a little bit of he taking over the house, berating the children. They run away. And their guardian angel is 170-year-old Lillian Gish, who basically is the avenging angel in this. It's a beautiful black and white film from the mid 50s.
Glorious photography.
Yeah, there's
looks great.
Yeah. The use of light and shadow in it is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very 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 much a throwback to German expressionism, but also some, you know, forays into some truly surrealistic territory, and it holds up perfectly. It's nothing that looks dated or at all. But that being said, it's such a one-of-a-kind movie that I don't think anything like it could possibly be made today.
Right, and the fact that, as you said, ahead of its time, Charles Laughton, one of the great character actors, I think he had directed a lot of plays,
yeah.
And this was his first foray into cinema. And, yeah, from a technological standpoint, use of shadows, use of black and white, use of perspective,
mm-hmm.
All of that. Really, a lot of films owe a huge debt to Night of the Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
And it did not do well financially, and Laughton was so distraught. And I'm like, wow, Captain Bly, is that distraught? And never directed again, which was a real shame.
Well, I feel like the style, I mean, the story, the narrative itself, really, it was a bit disjointed at times. But he kind of built on that with the way he directed the movie. And I feel like the scenes and the shots were very disjointed as well. And so at the time, I think more linear stories and styles of shooting were appreciated. And it was just kind of not... It was very new, and people weren't used to it.
And Robert Mitchum gives a performance that is at times it's almost half terrifying, and other half almost parody.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a scene, Mr. Slagle, where he's literally chasing after the women with his arms out like Frankenstein's monster, and going that slow, which is, you know, every horror film on the planet now has the killer who walks 1 mile a year, and the girl who can, you know, run 104.3, and she still gets a knife to the throat. So, we're gonna add this to your queue, Mr. Slagle, after you get through a couple titles, I think. Criterion has a really nice treatment of it, and
Ooh.
It just looks really, really cool.
It's cool. Worth it. So. And it's worth going to see any movie, especially the Monster Marathon at Art Craft Theater in Franklin.
How was the crowd when you saw it?
It was
about half full, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, we've been there. We saw the Christmas movie. Last year.
Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, we saw it a couple years ago, and it was packed.
Cool.
Yeah.
To the
they
gills.
Pack them in for the Christmas movies, but also, though, when they did the Hitchcock Festival, they got to.
Yeah, it was really packed.
Okay.
When
so I wouldn't
the
be surprised
Festival.
To see a pretty full theater for the Universal Monster Buffet
most definitely. And also, Kobe, Fair Sweet Bianca would be impressed because you picked out a movie from the 50s.
Oh, yes. Well,
and 50s, you know?
Totally different.
And sometimes movies from the 50s make you yearn for films from the 70s. Acting style choices. So, all right, let's take a short break. Only one break on the show. It's that chatty. And when we come back, we will talk about what is new and old on Blu-ray, and we will raise a glass to a dead guy that we like. I like.
Hey, it's and we, that dead guy.
And we go into the archives. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show, here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Let's just go. Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store.
Blockbuster Video. Wow, what a difference.
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
That's one of your favorite clips in the entire show, and you know it.
Which one, Tyler?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You're gonna miss Tyler. You're gonna miss Tyler. But I have a feeling you might watch a little bit of Raptors basketball because Tyler Hansbrough's playing there.
No.
Yeah, you will.
No,
you're gonna wear my wedding gift, and you're gonna watch the Raptors. Especially, do the Raptors play the Pacers?
Of course they play the Pacers.
Will there be a Peyton-esque level? Of debate.
The return of Tyler Hansbrough to Bankers Life Fieldhouse.
You think Larry Bird? No, yeah, Larry Bird's gonna talk smack about Tyler. No, not happening.
No,
that's a shame.
Bird hasn't done enough drugs.
Wow! Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. He hadn't dyed his hair blue either. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msosi@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter @MatthewSosi. Hanging out with Brian and Monica Hartz, just finding the line and just pushing it a little further and further. Or if you're Tyler, farther.
And farther.
And farther. So don't forget, folks, 1-866-HFF-1010 for the Heartland Film Festival. HeartlandFilmFestival.org. It is running. I'm sorry, you're right over there?
Okay.
Sorry, are we boring you with our Tyler Hansbrough information?
This is general practice on Fridays. This is what happens.
Yeah, we salute five-star general practice.
Oh, my God.
And Red Clay's a great album. All right. We'll talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray. The big title this week was the best film of the summer, but that is like saying it's like being valedictorian at summer school. The best film from this summer. Any guesses?
Oh, man.
You know this.
I'm trying to think of what I saw this summer.
No, you didn't like
Pacific. Anything that involves the White House men being under attack.
The White House men? Are they playing the Raptors?
That's the new
White
name
House
for the Washington
men
Redskins,
confident.
Actually.
I said and. Men.
White House men.
I'm trying to think of what I saw. I can't think of what I saw. I can't even remember any movie I saw this summer.
I think Brian already said it. Pacific Rim.
All right.
Really?
Guillermo del Toro's loud, big Valentine to the Japanese monster movies of the 50s and 60s.
And of course, Japanese giant robot. Stuff.
All of those, yeah. If you watched Godzilla, Gamera, Mothra, Mega Godzilla, Mega Streisand,
Mega Streisand?
South Park reference, don't worry about it. Yeah, so it is taking, the one thing I've talked about, and this film does this, is, and this is one of my gripes about Transformers and Wolverine and a lot of other films. If you're going to have a film with two big behemoth things knocking the snot out of each other, I want to see it. Don't give me fast cuts and extreme close-ups fists hitting. Well, Mr. Del Toro, much to his credit, we get to see this giant robot manned by two peoples and Melvin people. No. beating up these giant sea monsters that are attacking Tokyo and the rest of the world.
Oh, I thought they beat up each other.
No,
I
that's
it was
real.
Rock'em Sock'em Robot.
No, that's real
that's
steel.
That's real steel.
That was, yikes. So you have that. You have characters that you're supposed to care for, but they're kind of one dimensional. They're supposed to be one dimensional. This is a film. I think
there was about 5 minutes where they did cool stuff, even though no one in the movie was cool. But I was willing to give them coolness points for what they were doing.
Thank you, Gina. By the way, congratulations, Gina.
Yes.
Say hi to the cheetahs for us. So you have these moments that if it were a Michael Bay film, it would be 45 minutes longer, insufferable. We would be forced to care for the characters, and we don't. And, of course, Nelson Mandela brings out the Independence Day speech. So
it's also an art film.
It's not an art film. Thank you, Mr. Alba. So no, we have kind of one-dimensional characters, but they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
The only thing we want to see is people fighting. And
why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
Or be Ron Perlman. So there's that.
Well, which can often be seen in any Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, and not enough of him, by the way. So, but I guess that's a minor quibble. But yeah, it was a really weak summer. So I think that the fact that this was, and it's enjoyable. It's enjoyable for what it is. It's just, yeah. The other film that came out this summer, and it's not bad, and I actually liked it more than I thought, because I kind of was dreading from seeing the trailers. Thanks a lot, trailers. But this was family time at the Soci House. We watched The Heat. The teaming of Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. It's from the director of Bridesmaids. And it's, guess what, two cops that don't like each other.
No, come on.
They got two different methods.
No way.
They get results.
Nuh-uh. But they're chicks.
She
that
said
makes
it.
Everything different.
It does.
Because they can talk about chick stuff.
Yeah.
It's still pretty funny.
Is it? Oh, it's that one funny girl from Bridesmaids, and she's got her own thing now.
If you have the whole, umbrella of the Apatow and Apatow-esque, it would look like the Santana band tree. there's Paul Rudd's way over here, and, Seth Rogen's over there, and there's Melissa McCarthy, and there's, who's the guy who does the NFL picks, Rob Riggles over here, and, all those guys are all connected in one way, shape, or form. They've intertwined. They've done stuff together. And there's a few of those. Damien Bashir's in this, which was funny after seeing him in Machete Kills last week. Jane Curtin plays Melissa McCarthy's mom. I love cinematic gene pools. But you can tell that a lot of this was improvised, and Bullock and McCarthy work off each other well, and they don't pull anything out of each other, but it's still pretty funny.
I think Sandra Bullock has some pretty decent comedic timing. I think she's improved over the past decade or so.
And it's not all about Steve, so
yeah.
there is that. But no, it's worth a rental, Cobe.
Y'all love it, so.
Y'all.
Yeah, we all love it. And then we moved on to a concert film that made me an old man. I sat on the front stoop. Abdul sat with me. We talked about this. The concert film, Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain.
Ah, yes.
Yes. So now...
Can you call it a concert if it's a comedian?
It's a concert film, yeah. It's him on stage doing his stuff, doing his funny things with funny hands.
I wish everybody could have seen that.
I know.
They curiously like jazz hands.
But... Yeah.
No, they were not in sync.
They're totally different than jazz hands. That's what
entirely totally different.
Yeah.
You know what? It's so totally different.
So totally different.
But it's basically Kevin Hart on stage at Madison Square Garden. The film itself, the entire film is only 75 minutes. So it's a quick one. However, as I've noticed with films like Delirious and Bebe's Kids, there has to be a short film apparently at the beginning before we actually get to see the man up on stage. And this is where Mr. Shabazz and I sit on the front porch and say, Richard Pryor didn't need to have a short film before his concert movie. He just went up on stage and became funny. So...
He became funny? He wasn't
funny? He was funnier.
He did his funny thing with his funny hands.
You know what? Funny things happened.
Funny things happened on the stage when Richard Pryor was on it.
Jokes happened.
In the comedy show.
We love mixing sports metaphors. No, in this one, it's kind of making fun of Hart's fame and the following that he had. And then there's this long montage where he's performing in Canada and Europe. And then he comes back to New York and he wants to perform on stage.
Apparently, so is this a documentary or is this an actual
stand-up? No, it's a stand-up film. Okay. That's the other. I think
it's
not a concert. He's not a magician or a musician. He's not a magician or a musician.
If he were a magician,
he would be pulling things out of people.
Wow, she got to pull that bit twice in the history of this show without it being forced. Outstanding, Monica. Wow. Fine, stand-up film. But I think if you'd taken away the 15 minutes, it would have been a really heavily viewed HBO special. The stand-up's fine. Stand-up's good. I mean, he talks about his problem with lying. Guess what? Ladies. Comics always talk about the ladies. Single life, taking ecstasy, riding horses, kids having a stepdad, celebrity security, things like that. So
really your only issue is with the fact that he had a short film before.
Get on
and
with
Richard
it.
Pryor didn't.
Get on with it.
Okay.
Don't need that. But apparently you do, so you can have a 75-minute movie in theaters.
Well, Eddie Izzard did it, and it was really funny. Hours.
What?
Eddie Izzard did it when he filmed his special in
For television.
San Francisco.
It's not a feature film, is it?
I think they released it on DVD.
But it wasn't in theater.
No, I don't think it was in theaters.
We still look at the theater as a sacred place, even though people text and bring their children. But you know, we're working on that.
Haterade.
Haterade. You drink your Haterade.
I do drink my Haterade.
Being a hater.
Wow, thank you. That's great.
I mean, you're still technically somebody's child, right? I mean,
aren't we all somebody's child?
So like, you're technically a child going to the theater.
I think, didn't Stevie Wonder say we're all God's children? What are you?
Oh, my goodness. Where is this going?
Yeah, you want to talk to my dad? What is this?
No, you were hating on children being in the theater, and I'm like, well,
all right, I meant hating on children that have no business being at certain movies.
I'm sorry.
That have no business. So what are you going to do? You're going to screen them as they walk in? What business do you have here, young man?
Wouldn't
you get to sit Abdul out there?
Wouldn't that be great? He'd also say, if you weren't pledging, you're stealing. I'm sorry, this is John Carpenter's Vampires. What are you doing here?
What business do you have here? Rock'em Sock'em Robots? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. You can't outlaw them from a Disney film. But if it's 10:30 at night and you're seeing something like Training Day or a horror movie, really?
I think that's a great movie for toddlers.
Which one?
Notice how long the straight face lasted. Did you all time that on radio? It was about, what, half a second?
It's not Potty Training Day.
No.
No.
No, you're not scaring the... Anyway, all right. So the only other film of note, because it's October, and I guess we need to bring this up, but apparently they remade the 80s slasher film Maniac, this time with Elijah Wood.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that actually isn't it told like mostly in first person?
Yes. Yeah, so, Frodo be scalping ladies.
Frodo be scalping. Well, I mean, he did play a killer in Sin City, so it's not totally out of line.
No, but this is the fact that he gets to do the starring vehicle of it, so.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that is out. Okay, old titles. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I just got him confused with Daniel Radcliffe. Never mind. I was thinking of The Woman
what?
In Black. Easy. Easy. I was thinking of the one. I was like, oh, he was in The Woman in Black, but no, that was
yeah, I'm like, how dare you confuse Harry Potter and Frodo?
Guys, this is going to turn into a Big Bang Theory episode.
It could.
Monica. old titles out on Blu-ray. Yes. Wow. I didn't know this. It has been 10 years since the release of Love Actually.
Really?
Oh, there you go.
Cobe.
Wait a minute.
It's one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's a Christmas movie?
Yeah,
it's set at Christmas time.
Shows you how much I know.
Technically, Black Christmas is a Christmas movie.
Fair Sweet
movie,
Bianca
but...
doesn't make you watch that movie every year.
I was about to say, I was going to warn you because I think Fair Sweet Bianca will be a calling on this one.
Maybe, well, they released, when they released the Blu-ray of it, they were actually quite smart about, because I think it was kind of a lower budget film, or at least the editing team really wasn't paid very much because there were a lot of goofs in the original DVD release.
Ah, okay.
But they cleaned them up for the Blu-ray version, which was nice.
So yeah, Cobe, you've been warned.
And yeah, I don't know. I may have seen this. I don't know.
That's probably, you know.
It's Richard Curtis. It's Richard Curtis who gave us Four Weddings and a Funeral. He also created Blackadder, and I remember Mrs. Soucy called it Altman Light. Since there's so many intertwining stories going on.
And it stars everyone in England.
Everyone in England, yes. Colin
Firth. So dreamy.
I think you have somebody that your wife could go see Austin Land with.
Ew, no.
No?
No?
Ah, really?
I did not want to see that one. No.
Well, I did. Yeah.
I heard you bash it.
Yeah,
believe me.
I know. Also out
on...
He's got
Chiwetel Ejiofor in it.
He does. And there's a nice scene with... he doesn't pull things out of Keira Knightley, but
no.
Yeah.
He's married to her in that movie, though.
Yeah, well, let's move on. Also out on Blu-ray, the 1963 original The Haunting. Julie Harris. Haunted house movie from the 60s, Kobe.
Yeah.
No blood.
Probably the great not. Robert Wise.
Yeah, that's right. Indiana's own Robert Wise.
Probably not.
Oh, jeez. John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness. Yeah. Speaking of Sam, isn't Sam Neill in that? Yeah,
yes,
with Christopher Reeve.
Yes.
What year was that?
No, that's Village of the Damned. So Reeve was in Village of the Damned.
But Mouth of Madness...
Mouth of Madness was Sam Neill. 1994.
Is
Kevin Bacon in it, too?
I forget. Weird Science.
Another classic.
That brief period. That was Kelly LeBrock pre-Seagal. And then the bad things happened. High Plains Drifter. High Noon Goes to Hell from 1973.
Lots of good ones this
That's
time.
That's true. I thought Slapshot was already out on Blu-ray. I don't know why. Also on Criterion, speaking of creepy stuff, Kobe, the French creepy film, I wouldn't call it a horror film, Eyes Without a Face.
The French creepy film.
I do not like this movie.
But this is a doctor who is trying to find a new face for his daughter who was disfigured in an accident. The problem is, of course, he keeps abducting women and taking the skins off their face. So
that would be a problem.
So, oh, and also part of the best of series, I guess, that Universal has put out. You can get Cobe on Blu-ray. You too, Monica. Notting Hill. We got that right.
Yeah.
And Joe Wright's Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
Joe Wright pulls things out of Keira Knightley.
I actually like that novel, but that's a horrible adaptation of that novel.
Of what? Pride and...
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
It does. I mean, the only problem I have with it is that it does. It's very boom, 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 because they
It's 2.5 hours.
I know, but it's still. I mean, if you see it. If you see it in, miniseries form with Colin Firth,
she's not Carrie Russell, ladies and gentlemen.
it's definitely very fast paced, but I liked it. I thought it was good.
Okay, You stop sticking your tongue out at your husband. I'm not good for radio.
Chastised.
Yeah, I know. Now will you drag him to Julian Fellowes' treatment of Romeo and Juliet? Opened last week.
Oh, I'll go see that anyway.
He's trying, would be no drag. Apparently, he needed to improve upon Mr. Shakespeare's work and write some of his own Shakespearean dialogue.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's that.
Bad idea.
Even Zeffirelli didn't write anything new.
Correct. Okay, we go into the archives for a little bit because it's October. This is a film that you cannot buy in stores. You have to order it online, or as Kobe likes to put it,
I'll burn it for like $5.
Or in Warner Brothers' case, 20 from 1973. This is one I had not seen, so I'm glad I did. I am, of course, fascinated by the films of Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, especially by the time the 70s roll around, because they just got a lifestyle they got to maintain. So
they probably weren't even aware of half the movies they made.
Exactly. Well, this one was a very popular play at the time, made into a movie, a thriller called Night Watch, which was the reunion of Elizabeth Taylor and Lawrence Harvey, because apparently Butterfield A wasn't enough. But this is one where there's a haunted house living next door. Is it all in Elizabeth? Yes, living next door.
The house is living next door.
The house is living, and it's dead.
Well, I mean, it's haunted. Thank God.
And you know what?
Right there.
Plot things happen. And, of course, this is one of these, is Elizabeth Taylor crazy, or is it Memorex?
Yes.
Well, we knew that. But, how much of this is in her head, or is this actually happening? Her husband's having an affair. Are they a part of it? You know what? There's so much red herring. Cat Cora should blacken this and serve it with rice pilaf. How do you like that, huh? So
I thought we were past the food portion.
Yeah.
Not with Cat Cora.
It comes and goes.
Yeah. It ems and flows and everything. Kind of a modest thriller. It's no blood, nothing that would really freak you out, Mr. Slagle. But the last 5 minutes have a bit of a kick to it. So, all right. Do we have Chris Lloyd's famous intro?
Oh yeah, the famous one.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
there's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
This was a guy I grew up watching in many different movies. Character actor Ed Lauder died at the age of 74. First thing I ever saw him in, he was the captain in the original version of The Longest Yard.
Oh, that guy.
Thank you. He also had a brief moment in the remake, which nobody really needs to see. But films like The Magnificent Seven Ride, The New Centurions, Hickey and Boggs, The Last American Hero, Executive Action, The Midnight Man. Guess what? Played a lot of colonels and a lot of captains, police and military. French Connection 2, Breakheart Pass, Family Plot. The Dino De Laurentiis King Kong, The White Buffalo. He worked with Bronson a lot. Magic, Death Hunt, The Amateur, Cujo, speaking of Stephen King novels, The Big Score, Lasseter. Yeah, he worked with Tom Selleck. Real Genius, Death Wish 3, Young Blood, Raw Deal. Guess what? Also, was a captain in Miami Vice, was a captain on Magnum PI. Lots of things. Most recently, I know. Oh, he was also Sarah Jessica Parker's dad in Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That's a gene pool I'm interested in. He was the police captain in True Romance. And 2 years ago, he was one of the silent actors in the silent film The Artist.
Ah.
Yes, that guy. So, Ed.
I'll never forget his parting words to us.
Thank you for your scowl. And thank you. He was also in Trouble with the Curve with Clint Eastwood. But yeah, played the butler in The Artist. All right. Thanks, Ed. Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Brian, Monica, thank you for hanging out.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting us.
Plug the blog.
Cinematicmusic.blogspot.com.
There you go. So, until next time, go see a good movie. Go to Heartland. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We gone! Good night, Fort Myers.
Go Tigers.